This is episode 42 of the Home and Family Culture Podcast. I'm Jody Chafee. In this episode, I interviewed Crystal Pascal of Fundamental Children's Books. Welcome to the Home and Family Culture Podcast, where I discuss how families can discover and design their collective vision, values, beliefs, and traditions that influence their family culture. In this podcast, I interview experts who offer tips and tools to inspire families in this process of developing their family culture, and also successful individuals whose success was influenced by their family culture growing up. Be sure to check out the show notes for this and every episode at homeandfamilyculture.com, where you can subscribe for my weekly newsletter filled with updates on the podcast and blog, as well as other tidbits of information I like to add. You can listen to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, or YouTube. Please subscribe to your favorite medium. You can also find me on social media at Family Culture Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest, and at _FamilyCulture on Twitter. Be sure to comment, follow, like, rate, and share. But enough about all that. Let's get to the episode. Thank you for listening. Crystal Pascal is a wife, mom of three boys, and a teacher turned homeschooling parent. She's also the bookworm behind Fundamental Children's Books, an online resource that helps parents find great books for their kids. Crystal loves to read, of course, and she also loves running, crochet, and a good cup of coffee. You can find her online at itsfundamental.info. Welcome, Crystal. Yay!
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm glad you could be here. I'm really excited to talk about this topic of helping our families and raising our kids to be readers. So tell us more about what inspired the Fundamental Children's Books.
Well, Fundamental Children's Books actually came out of my experience as a teacher. Before I had kids of my own, I was a kindergarten readiness teacher for special needs kids. And one of the biggest questions that I got from parents was, you know, we're going through this particular experience. Can you recommend a book for this? Whether it was, you know, getting rid of the pacifier, or, you know, we just lost a pet, or we're having a new baby. Can you recommend a book? And I've always been a reader. I've always loved books. So that was one of my favorite things to do, was help parents find the books that they needed for what they were going through with their children. And out of that came the idea for a website that was really just devoted to helping parents find great books for whatever they were going through with their children's at any stage of their life.
I really love that idea, because I love that there are actually books for those different stages, you know, right. Especially even books written at kids level where they can understand it, or hear a story about somebody's else going through those things that they're experiencing, and how powerful a book can be to have somebody to relate to, even if it's just a fictional character or whatever. Like, that's very empowering for the kid and for the parents too.
Yes.
To read somebody else's experience and then have a resource to sit down with your kids and say, look, let's read this story together and see how it really applies to us in our situation. That's really cool.
Exactly.
I love that. That's awesome. So what would you say was your mission of creating Fundamental Children's Books?
I think it's shifted a little bit since I started. It's always been to help parents find good books for their kids. Mm-hmm. I've always been a big believer in the power of books and how, like you mentioned, they can help us find people or characters going through the same thing we are. But then on the flip side, they can also introduce us to experiences that are different from our own and help us to build empathy for people who may not be like us. But as the site has grown, I've also kind of taken on an additional mission of really helping parents not be intimidated by the idea of reading with their kids and reading with their kids daily. I get a lot of emails from parents that say, you know, I know we should be reading aloud, but it's been so hard to build this routine. We're so busy. You know, they just have this shame. And I really want to help parents break through that shame and say, it's not too late to start. It doesn't have to look perfect. It may not be the whole family gathered around the fireplace with a book, but anybody can do it. Anybody can build a reading habit in their family and build a reading culture in their home.
Yeah.
Yes. So you say culture. That leads us into, you know, what this podcast is about. You know, what are your thoughts and your about what is family culture to you?
Family culture for me, I just really want my home to be a safe place for the people that live in it.
Yeah.
So that any idea, any struggle, any problem that anyone in the house is going through, whether it's myself, my husband, the kids, like, you know, the other people in your house have got your back. And I think reading factors into that, because when you read together, it's just a shared experience. And books have a way of drawing people in that I really feel like other mediums don't. You know, technology is great. You know, we like movies, we watch TV, but there's something special about books. And when you have those shared experiences, it builds relationships. And then from those relationships, when the hard times do come, you know that, okay, these people that I have this shared experience with, you know, they're my people. They've got my back.
Yeah, I love that. So it's a unifying, and it's even more so because, like, you are sitting there interacting in a different way than you do when you're just looking at a TV screen or a computer screen and things like that.
Right.
It's the benefits of reading for our family culture. That's really what it comes down to, is that glue that binds us together, and experiencing, you know, the stories and the characters and those things that you create together. I think, you know, one of the things about family culture that I like to talk about is your family stories. And sometimes it might be hard to come up with your own family stories, but like from your past, you know, but that if you can create new stories or even read stories that you all come together and understand and appreciate together, could be from books, then those are all things that unify your family. So I love that.
I agree. And I feel like it gives our family too, like, you know, there are certain things that are important to my husband and I that we really want our kids to value.
Yeah.
And so when we read, the books that I'm choosing are kind of solidifying those values. You know, I want my children to value kindness.
Yes.
I want my children to be the type of kids that embrace someone that may be different from them rather than being afraid. I want my children to have empathy for people that are in difficult situations or who have gone through difficult things. I want my children to be resilient, all kinds of things. And there are so many wonderful books that reinforce those ideas, and they really do the work. You know, your kids get tired of hearing your voice sometimes, and, you know, I can go on about kindness and I'll get an eye roll from my oldest child because he's heard it all for the past 9 years. But you know, when we read a book where the main character is treated unkindly, it's not mom preaching at the child, not my child anymore. It's this character that we've gotten to know and built a relationship with, dealing with what it really is like when someone is unkind. And it's kind of a sneaky way to get those important values in.
Yes, I completely agree with that. That's really cool. The way that you put that is, you know, family culture, it's our values, and it's those vision that we have for our kids and our family, and to use books as a way to reinforce those values and the messages that we want our kids to learn. I love that. That's because, yeah, you can talk at them all day long, but but until they feel it for themselves. And that's the power of books and stories, is that it opens their own hearts and their own minds to feel, rather than just being told what to think or what to feel. So what are some of the obstacles that keep families from reading more if it's so important?
I think the biggest one that I hear is time. And I totally understand it. You know, we lead busy lives. And, you know, when I was teaching and my kids were still little, it was hard. And I carried quite a bit of shame about being a teacher who came home at night sometimes too tired and overwhelmed to read with her kids. So I get it. So I think that lack of time combined with being almost ashamed or overwhelmed that you haven't already built the task or built the regular habit.
Yeah.
Makes parents afraid to start or feel like maybe it's too late. And so, you know, it does take some priority shifting. It does take some rearranging your day to accommodate that time. But I just always encourage people to get whatever you think it should be out of your mind and just give it a try.
Yeah.
You know, we hear recommendations about reading aloud to our kids for 20 minutes a day. And I tell people all the time, if 20 minutes is too hard, try 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then maybe a week later, you can try 10 minutes and let it grow. The great thing about books is that even the most reluctant kid can be won over with the right book. And I've seen my kids get into books in spite of themselves, because the power of a great story with great characters is just, it's irresistible.
Yeah. I think one of my obstacles is I sometimes feel bad that I'll start a book and we don't finish it. But then I read somewhere that if you start books and it sparks an interest in your kids, and then they want to pick it up and read it themselves. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's like a really cool way that even though I feel bad, like, we've only read a few chapters in this book or whatever, that then my kids are like, oh, I want to know what the end is.
Yes.
And they remember, oh, we started reading that book or something like that, you know? And so it's okay. Like it's not a big deal if you pick up a book and give it a try and then come back to it again later, or allow your kids the space to just come back to it later. And so that's another way to overcome that obstacle. But I like what you say about just start the habit. Like even if it's just, let's just read one little picture book or whatever it is, you know, that, because a lot of it is just trial and error of figuring out what works for you, would you say?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, a lot of families I know read right before bed. You know, they'll get everybody together, or, you know, my older two share a room, so they're in their bunk beds and they read before bedtime. And for a long time, I tried to make reading before bedtime work for us, and it didn't work for us.
Uh-huh.
We were all just a little too tired at the end of the day to, you know, my mood wasn't ideal.
Yeah.
They were tired. My middle son would sometimes fall asleep before I was done reading for the night and then wake up in tears the next day because he had missed part of the story.
Oh.
Could I please go back? And then my older one didn't want to go back. And so I finally just realized there's no rule that says we have to read before bedtime. We can read another time, or, you know, we could do a short picture book at bedtime and I can read aloud out of a chapter book during the day, and that'll fit our lives better. So yeah, a lot of it is trial and error and not being afraid to think outside the box or do something a little bit unconventional.
Yeah. So what about those families that try to read aloud, but their kids are too busy, too distracted? You know, what are some tips that you would offer them to try and maybe just wrangle them in and bring them in to sit still a little bit longer?
A big tip for me is if you have a child that's disinterested, getting them involved in the story choosing is always fun. Kids like to feel like they have a say. And, you know, sometimes my kids have pointed me to really fun books I wouldn't have found otherwise.
Uh-huh.
And I also know that some kids are just busy by nature, or, you know, kids with ADHD or other attention issues, asking them to sit still and listen to a story just isn't possible for them. And so there's nothing wrong with handing your busy child a piece of paper and some crayons and saying, why don't you draw while we read? Or why don't you, you know, play with a little toy that keeps your hands busy, or walk around the room if that's easier for you, you know, bounce on the yoga ball if that keeps you busy.
That's
like I said, it really doesn't have to look like maybe this Norman Rockwell painting of what a perfect read aloud time would be like. A lot of times in our house, my oldest is hanging upside down with his feet at the top of the couch and his head by the floor. And my middle son may or may not have pants on, depending on how the day is going.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I'm trying to read and wrangle a baby who would really like to hold the book for me. So it isn't always the most picturesque scene, but we have a lot of fun, and it's what works for us.
Yeah. Yeah. My 7-year-old will sit there and play with Legos for hours and hours. And it would be silly for me to be like, no, put those away and listen to the book. You know?
Right. And they
that's actually helping him. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. You know, I've had parents ask me about, you know, trying to read with a toddler, and that little toddler will just be all over the place, you know, into toys, and then 5 seconds later over on the other side of the room doing something else, and the parent thinks that they're reading to themselves.
Yeah.
But they're not. The toddler is hearing, is processing those things, and is more engaged than you may think. Engagement for a kid may look different than what it looks like for an adult.
Well, what I was going to say too is that even if nobody seems to be listening, and you still keep coming back to it, reinforcing the habit of doing it again and again and again, eventually they just catch on. And you are the one that needs to develop the habit almost. You know, as a parent, it's like, if we're developing the habit, then the kids really will catch on to that.
Exactly. You know, we make time for the things that are important to us. Yeah. So when you make time for reading every day, even if it's messy or it takes a while to find your groove, you're communicating to your kids, this is important to us.
Yeah, it's a value.
This is important to our family. And my number one tip for parents that are looking to build a reading culture in their home is to be a reader yourself.
Yeah.
Make time to read and let your kids see you reading, because that communicates that reading is something that you find valuable. Not just for them, but in general.
Yeah. I just had an interview she talked about how reading was even like a form of self-care for parents, for moms, you know, that it's like, this is me taking care of myself and taking a minute to appreciate and enjoy life, pick something up and show that it is, like you said, like a value, because that's a dual value purpose, that you're valuing reading itself, and then you value the message that you're conveying to your kids within the book. And so that's cool. I love that. Thank you for those tips. I love hearing about different ways that we can incorporate reading into our family culture, because it is so valuable and so important. Oh, I wanted to ask you if you feel like audiobooks have the same benefit.
I love this question, because for a long time I was an audiobook snob, because I have just always been a real book reader and audiobooks felt like cheating to me. So I will say this, I think that nothing is going to replace the time and just the physical proximity and the experience of actually reading aloud with your kids. That being said, about 2 years ago, I made the switch to, whenever we are in the car together, we don't listen to music anymore. We listen to audiobooks. Mm-hmm. And it has been such a fun experience for our family. I'm an audiobook convert now. Uh-huh. I love them. And I'm always telling parents, like, you have to start doing audiobooks in the car. It's the best.
You have a captive audience there too.
Again, it's a situation where my sometimes stubborn kids have been won over by the fact that they really don't have a choice but to listen to what's going on. And we're to a point with audiobooks now that a lot of times we'll arrive at our destination and the kids will say, can we just stay in the car for a few more minutes to hear how this ends? Or, you know, can we stay here until this chapter is over? And I try to accommodate that when I can. Sometimes we have to get to where we're going, but...
Where do you find your audiobooks?
We are big library people, as you can probably imagine. So we do almost all of our audiobooks through our local library. We use an app called Libby that connects to our local library's digital collection.
Oh, okay. I have Overdrive. That's one that connects to our library. Mm-hmm.
Same idea. And so when we're in the car, we're fortunate enough to have a car that has Bluetooth, so I can just plug my phone into our speaker system in the car and we can listen. Or we'll also check CDs out of the library too. Okay. So I know that there are lots of services where you can, you know, purchase audiobooks, Audible and things like that. For us, we've been able to go the inexpensive route, and the way we go through audiobooks, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, right? Devouring them. I also like LibriVox, because they have all of the classics, you know, a lot of the public domain audio files. And another thing I was going to say, I don't have Bluetooth in my car, but I purchased a Bluetooth adapter on Amazon. So, yeah. So it's perfect. Like, so it syncs to my phone and then I can play the audiobooks. And so that's another tool that you can use. It's just an audio Bluetooth adapter.
Oh, that's great.
And then we have Bluetooth speakers just around the house.
Yeah, we do.
because it's so much easier. Like if you have a speaker, you know, you're not straining to try to gather everybody to listen and things like that. If we're listening in the house and stuff. So yeah, that's awesome. Cool. I love listening. I'm definitely an audiobook. I love audiobooks, and that's the way that I listen to a lot of my own books, and my younger kids they love listening to audiobooks too. So, and reading. Awesome. So I know that there are some really great books out there about reading aloud, and they have book lists and things like that. What are some of, have you read any of those books, and what books can you recommend?
Yes. A really fun book that we love that we bought three copies so we can do it together. The title is 101 Books to Read Before You Grow Up. And it's got a listing of the classics, but it's a diverse list. It's it's not just books that are 100 years old. It's a mix of old favorites and some newer books that are really great. And it also contains a journaling element.
Oh, cool.
So after you read the book or your child reads the book, they can kind of go in and write about, okay, this is what I thought of this book. I liked it. I didn't like it. This is why. And my kids really love that. And as a homeschooling mom, I love it too, because it kind of knocks out like reading and writing together in one swoop.
Yeah.
And my kids almost don't realize I've had them do a writing lesson.
Nice. Have you read the Jim Trelease, the Read Aloud Handbook?
I haven't.
I really like that one. He just has a lot of good recommendations about why you read from even young age and why you keep reading as they get older. Because,
right.
You know, even as they get older, they still need to hear you reading to them, and they need to, you know, reading just above their level, their reading level helps to expand their own reading level.
Exactly.
And comprehension. And so that's a really good one. A couple that I haven't read yet that are on my list is Honey for the Child's Heart.
Yes,
that's a series, right? Because there's Honey for the Teenager's Heart and things like that.
Another great resource is Give Your Child the World by Jamie Martin.
Another good resource is the Institute for Excellence in Writing.
Yes.
They have really good resources for reading and writing and things. So just a couple tips, resources throughout there. Awesome, Crystal. I really love all of your tips and ideas. And I really am excited to share with my audience your websites and your resources. What would you say is your parting tips for families trying to learn how to read? And then share with us where we can find you.
Sure. So my number one tip is just get started. It's not too late. You haven't messed up if you haven't started building a reading culture in your household and your kids are older. Just don't be afraid to start, and don't be ashamed of the fact that you haven't started. Just start and see where it takes you.
Awesome. Thank you. I love that. Where can we find you, Crystal?
Well, my website is Fundamental Children's Books, and you can find it at itsfundamental.info. Mm-hmm. And then on social media, just @fundamentalbooks on any of the social media channels is where you can find me.
Cool. That's easy enough to remember. I love it. Awesome. Thank you so much, Crystal. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be on the show and share with us more about this. It's such an important topic. And, you know, family culture is really about these values that we want to help our kids to learn. And, you know, reading to them it goes beyond literacy. Yeah,
right.
It goes beyond that. It's our relationships with each other. It's our relationships with the stories and it's about the values that we are helping to instill in them.
Exactly.
And so thank you for your message. Thank you for your work. Thank you so much, Crystal. I really love all these resources and tips and tools to help us to read more to our families. And why it is so important to our family culture that these stories that we share together are so important to these shared experiences that we have as families. And then to be able to teach our children through our example that reading is important, and also the values that the books convey that we can teach our children. So you can check out Crystal's website at itsfundamental.info, and you can also see other book recommendations that I talk about at homeandfamilyculture.com/books, and you can check out the show notes for this and every episode at homeandfamilyculture.com. Again, please like and follow and rate and share And thank you so much for listening. Do you want to take a second? I keep hearing somebody.
Yes. I'm so sorry. My dog is very upset.
It's okay.
You can shut the door and she just can't hold that. What do you need, pup? Okay. You're in here now.
It's fine. That's funny.
Another obstacle to reading sometimes.
Right.